In Latin America, the Pope earned a reputation as a disciplinarian after the Vatican reined in a movement inside the church known as liberation theology. The Pope's intervention had an especially profound effect on the church in Brazil, which has the world's biggest Catholic population. NPR's Martin Costi has this look back from Rio de Janeiro.
The Brazilian Catholic Church is in the middle of what's generally referred to as a charismatic revival. The hot priest these days is a young man named Father Marcelo Rossi, who fills stadiums with upbeat, music-filled services that put an emphasis on emotion. It's a far cry from the Brazilian Catholic Church of the early 1980s. Back then, the church had been swept up by the political activism of liberation theology, which stressed human rights and economic reform. Névio Fiorin, who was a priest during that era, says liberation theology was rooted in the foundations of early Christianity.
Jesus não morreu de febre, não morreu de ataque cardíaco.
Jesus didn't die of a fever. He didn't die of a heart attack or old age. He was assassinated, the victim of a political conspiracy. And that realization is at the foundation of liberation theology. I think Christianity has always had a revolutionary perspective since its origin, and it can't live without revolution.
But in the eyes of the Vatican, the Brazilian church was flirting with Marxism. The most visible culprit seemed to be Leonardo Boff, a Franciscan monk and theologian. He was summoned to Rome to explain the socialist tone of his writings, and in 1985 he was officially silenced, prohibited from publishing or public speaking. Fiorin says he and other leftist priests didn't understand why the Vatican was so opposed to this mixture of politics and religion.
Ao mesmo tempo que criticavam essa perspectiva da teologia da libertação.
They criticized this aspect of liberation theology, but at the same time, the Pope supported the same kind of thing in his home, Poland, with the Solidarity movement. Why couldn't the Pope see the profound connection between the two movements?
In the years following Boff's punishment, the Vatican was careful to appoint conservative bishops in Brazil, and the Catholic Church became less political. Bishops who'd sympathized with liberation theology kept a low profile, and some clergy, such as Fiorin and Boff, left the priesthood altogether. Bishop Raimundo Damasceno Assis was the secretary general of the Brazilian Bishops' Conference in the latter half of the 1990s. He says the Pope was right to nudge the Brazilian church away from overt politics. What the Pope was trying to warn us about was a liberation theology that could lead toward attempts to change society through violence or revolution, Damasceno says. He says the Pope didn't ban liberation theology. In fact, he says many elements have been absorbed by the Church throughout Latin America and live on in the Catholic campaigns to raise resources for the poor. He says liberation theology served an important function, especially when Brazil was still run by a military dictatorship. But now that Latin America is mostly democratic, the Church has other priorities. One of those priorities, the bishop admits, is matching the challenge of Protestant churches. With lively worship services such as this one in suburban Rio de Janeiro, the Protestants have stolen away millions of Catholics in Brazil. The Catholic Church has decided to fight fire with fire, turning to pop star priests such as Father Marcelo. Some critics inside the church say it's the new showmanship that's responsible for elbowing aside the earnest political activism of the 1980s. In the end, competition from the Protestants may have had more to do with burying liberation theology than anything the Pope ever did. Martin Costi, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.